leaving Melbourne and moving to New Zealand. In the 1940s and 50s, living in Melbourne, the big trip of your life was going to Sydney by train for a weekend. It never entered your head that you'd be able to fly in an aeroplane. That was for the people from Toorak. You never thought of going overseas. Jim and I met in Melbourne when he was there in 1949, teaching at Camberwell Grammar School. He and his elder brother Len had come from New Zealand to work in Melbourne and Len had met and married my elder sister Grace. Jim went back to Auckland at the end of the year because his father was very ill, and soon after that his father died. His sister Audrey also died in a motorbike accident. It was a bad year. Mum and I arrived there on the 23rd of April 1951, having left Sydney on the Wanganella on the 19th. We landed on the 23rd in Auckland, and there's a photo of Jim and me at the Auckland Domain on Anzac Day with a whole lot of other blokes 2 days after I got there. They were the University Labour Club, who were demonstrating against the glorification of war, as Anzac Day used to be in those days, handing out leaflets called Slaughter of the Innocents. I'd been corresponding with Jim and also with Audrey. We went there because Grace was nervous. She was a really shy person, and she said, "I'm going to live in New Zealand where I only know two people. Why don't you and Mum come for a holiday?" So we saved up and followed a few months after she and Len went there. Grace was married to Len in 1950, and they first went to England because she already had arranged to go to England with Grandma Tilly. Grandma had paid for Grace to go with her to England. It was Grandma's first time back to England since about 1906, and she wanted Grace to go with her because Grace was her special. Then Grace and Len met and got married, so Len got a job as a steward on a different ship. By paying the regular steward to stay in Australia, he had to pay the steward his wages and go to England. Then somebody else did the same for the return trip, so the regular bloke could get back on with his job. Len was first of all a steward in the dining room. You know how they have two sittings? In the first sitting, there was a very wealthy family who had a 13-year-old son who thought that he owned everything. When he sat down at the table, he would order the first thing on the menu, and when Len brought it, he'd look at it, and if he didn't like the look of it, he'd take the plate and knock it on the floor, knock it against the table leg and knock the food onto the floor and say, "Bring me the next thing." And he went right through the menu, knocking stuff onto the floor and eventually eating bits and pieces. The parents took no notice, and Len was furious, because not only was this hideous waste and disgusting behaviour by the kid, but Len had to clean that up before the second sitting. They didn't have that much time allowed, so he said to the parents, "Listen, you've got to stop your son doing this. It's not right, you know." And they said, "Your job is to serve, serve." Len was still furious, and so the next meal, someone ordered soup, and he had a tray with bowls of soup held above his shoulder, and he ran across the room as the ship heeled over, and he tipped it all over this kid. He was then demoted to being a bathroom steward. He wasn't fit enough to be with people. Then he had a set of bathrooms to look after, and at 10 o'clock every morning, the captain or the purser or somebody would come around to inspect them to see they were all clean. And he said as soon as he cleaned them, someone would go and use them and they wouldn't be clean again. So he thought the best thing was to clean them and then lock them all up except one. Then he'd open them all at 10 to 10, so they were lovely when they were inspected. This meant that there was all this unused soap, as they were allowed new soap every day. So he stocked up all the spare soap in his bag, and when they got to Aden, he went ashore, and he was able to swap that soap for a new pair of trousers. He always loved that pair of trousers. Grace and Grandma went to England on a different ship, but they came back all on the same one. They both got jobs in England and saved up enough money for the fare home for Len. So when they returned and headed on to New Zealand, she wanted Mum and me to go over there to visit. So I went to New Zealand just for a holiday and stayed there with no family other than Grace and Mum, but we all lived in Len and Jim's family home with their mother Josie and sister Trudy. Jim and I got engaged at the end of July and married on the 31st of August 1951. Roger was born in New Zealand in 1953, then from the beginning of 54 until the end of 56 we lived in Melbourne, where Jenny was born in 55. Jim was teaching at Thornbury High and we lived in Croydon in a house that no one wanted to rent because it used to be a brothel. Jim visited the education department to ask if they had a job in a school closer to Croydon, and the man picked up the letter on the top of his in tray, which was from a man who lived in Thornbury, asking if there was a job closer to the one he had at Croydon Central. So they did a clean swap. They both taught the same subjects. Then Jim taught at the school at the bottom of our road. While we were in Melbourne, Jim joined Realist Writers and helped to set up Overland magazine. Even after Jim died, I've had Overland sent to me because of Jim's involvement. We went to many Realist Writers events, usually at the home of Stephen and Nita Murray Smith, and got to know several of Australia's well-known writers from that period. The little daughter of the family, Joanna Murray Smith, is now a well-known author of plays and books. At the end of 1956, we attended some of the Olympic Games and then went back to New Zealand, and we stayed there until June 1958 when we went to Vienna. I've never been on a plane before. By the time we went to Vienna, we had three kids. The night before we were to fly, I got a telegram from BOAC saying they'd just worked out that I would be into the eighth month of pregnancy by the time we reached Europe, and they wouldn't take me until after the baby was born, so I had to wait behind. Jim had to be there at a certain time, and I said, "These people are peace people. They're not going to insist that you leave me here," but off Jim went. Stephen Murray Smith was very involved in the peace movement. He'd worked in the World Peace Council when it was in Prague and was contacted to recommend a representative from Australasia to work at the International Institute for Peace and Friendship in Vienna, and he recommended Jim. So we were asked if we'd go. At that stage we were living in the Kaupuka schoolhouse in New Zealand, near where Jim taught at the Maramarua District High School, a little tiny dot on the map in the North Island of New Zealand. I'd had no idea how much of a world traveller Jim was going to be. After he'd done Teachers College with the Education Department, he had to teach for a year before his teacher's certificate was finalised, so he worked at a country settlement called Ngātia for a year before he'd come to Melbourne. He'd already done his BA and was doing his MA, which I typed out. Where we lived in Kaupuka, there used to be a little school, and then they consolidated all the small schools in the area and made them into a district high school a few miles away at Maramarua. So we lived in that schoolhouse, which was left there after the school building was moved to Maramarua. It was beautiful. It looked down into a valley miles away from the nearest house. It had the tennis courts, playgrounds, a horse paddock, boys and girls toilets, but no school building, just surrounded all around by farmland, and the nearest building was a sell-it-all store, you know, general store, little tiny one, about a mile down the road from our place. So it was all very peaceful.